Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 31. And Dave, the Steelers season has taken a dramatic turn for the worse from where they were from Week 2 to where they sit today. A 30-9 pasting by the Jaguars, the highlights, low light, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, the five interceptions, two of them returned for touchdowns by the Jags. This was a game that was as unentertaining as they come. And it just, Dave, a game that just completely got away from the Steelers in the second half. And now it has everybody rightly asking lots of questions about this team.
I got a question. How was your view of the game?
Clear. Because nobody stood up the whole game because there was nothing to stand up and cheer for. I went with my brother and my two nephews. I think it's the first time the four of us have been to a game. I know it's the first time in 7 or 8 years. It might be the first time ever. You know, it was an overcast, a pleasant day to watch a game. And fortunately, just nothing going for the Steelers. I mean, you know, they go up 3-0, and that was the highlight of the day. They were bad in the red zone. Ben was bad. The defense got beat up in the run again. Of course, the late yardage, you know, makes it look even worse. But, you know, the only thing positive to take out of this game is nobody got injured. And there's really not much more.
Yeah, you had a real-life all 22 there, didn't you?
I did. I was up top where I love to sit and get a look at it. And, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get to look at much that was good for the black and gold.
All right. Well, you're able to I'm trying to avoid the
the game.
Was the beer good?
No beers. No. I mean, that was probably a good thing too. Good choice. No beers, just kind of in and out. And I have to say, I don't often leave a game before there are 4-0s on the board, but interception number 4 kind of sealed it for us as we walked out, and I was in the car as the final gun went off to 0-0-0-0 and 30-9. So
I'm sure the fan police will forgive you on that one there. All right. You know, let's get to this. I mean, there's I've watched it 2 more times already and was thinking, you know, before I laid down last night for a few hours, what would kind of be the best way to approach this thing. I think the best way is to kind of divide this game up into really 3 sections, with the first section being the first half plus the Steelers' first possession, or was it second possession of the second half. In total, the Steelers' first, 6 possessions. So yeah, their second, their first possession of the first half, along with the entire first half, and within that, the team scored, you know, only had the 3 field goals, and they were 0-3 in the red zone. Now, they were able to move the football some during 3 of those 6 possessions there. Obviously, when they got into the red zone there, huge problems. And had they scored at least 1 touchdown in any of those 3 red zone trips, once again, you have to wonder how that might have in turn affected the Jaguars and getting them kind of out of things that they want to do. And definitely if you score twice out of those 3 red zone trips, you have an entirely total different ball game. I think at that point, the middle portion of the game, I would consider the Steelers' next really, you know, I guess 3 or 4 possessions, of which 3 ended in interceptions. And then the last part of the game, I think you can divide up, would be obviously, you know, desperate times, chunking the ball down the field, interception number five, and then of course the defense just, you know, giving up on the other end with the late Leonard Fournette 90-yard gain there off of left guard, left tackle there. So I don't know. Is that kind of how you're dividing this game up? And you know, how do you want to start? Do you want to start by talking about the interceptions?
Yeah, let's start with let's just get the inactives out of the way. Very much as we talked on Friday, and boy, I took a lot of heat for the Marcus Gilbert stuff on Twitter, saying, you know, as we talked about, he was backed off on Thursday, and guy said it was wet field, whatever. It's just not really a typical way that things work, and it turns out that's not how it worked. So Marcus Gilbert didn't go, and the rest of the inactives were just as Dave called them. It was the either or game at receiver and linebacker. And the either was not Eli Rogers or James Harrison. And that obviously doesn't spell good things for Eli Rogers. And maybe the loss, you know, makes everybody reevaluate things and gives him a bigger opportunity to get back this week. But James Harrison, Dave, do you have anything to add on the fact that, you know, clearly there's no illness, there's nothing involved, healthy scratch, and we've talked about why forever, but it happened. And it was something that I, you know, just 2 weeks ago you asked me this, and I said I couldn't see it happening. I just would be very surprised, first because you just assume some guys are going to be injured, and the Steelers have been ridiculously lucky with their health, and second because it's James Harrison. But you were spot on, and you called this before anybody, saying, you know, you felt like, you know, it could end up going this way, and it did.
Other than saying I told you so, no. Look, I mean – I'm not playing kind of heart scientist or rocket surgeon here. You know, it's looking at the numbers, it's looking at the health of the team. Even if James Harrison is let's suppose he's number four out of five at the outside linebacker position. That's kind of a stretch, maybe, but let's at least say that's the instance here. The fact that he doesn't play on special teams automatically forces Danny Smith to choose another, you know, whether it be L.J. Fort or, and of course, Fort's an inside linebacker, or Arthur Motes over him. And yeah, Arthur Motes does not play a lot on special teams, but he is on the punt coverage team, and he plays left tackle on the punt coverage team. And I know the instant reaction from a lot of listeners is, well, just get someone else to play left tackle. Well, that's just, you know, That ends up getting field goals blocked. You know, it's just not as easy as saying, well, get someone else that's already dressing to do it, kind of thing. So, you know, as I've stated a couple times on Twitter, you know, and I think on this podcast as well too, if the linebacker's core as it is right now remains healthy, and if certain other positions, you know, remain relatively healthy, it's going to be hard for James Harrison to get a helmet moving forward because, you know, okay, who are you going to bench? Arthur Motes, who are you going to bench? Grimble, you know, there's only just so many places, and you have to have seven inactives on your list. So, you know, we'll see moving forward. James Harrison will be active at one time, whether, you know, one way or the other due to injuries. But, you know, as far as straight out helping, you know, defensively, and him getting a hat that way, I just don't see it, David.
All right, so the rest of it was as expected, and the Steelers get in this game, and let's just stay with the topic that is going to be the topic, and that's Ben Roethlisberger's play. And again, I know Twitter is a minority, and a vocal minority at that, of, you know, the and I'm not even sure it's a true sampling of what Steeler fans think, but certainly there was outrage and questions about Ben Roethlisberger and his future, Todd Haley in the offense. And look, they're all legitimate questions. When you go perform like that, you can ask whatever questions you want. And I guess the first question I would ask Dave is, how bad was it going through the tape a second and a third time? How bad was it in your view? How badly did Ben play?
Bad. I mean, but now I you know, I always try to look at the why somebody, you know, you go back to that, what was it, the 4-interception game that Landry Jones had a couple of preseasons ago. What was it, against the Eagles, or forget who it was exactly.
In a half, right? The first half,
right? You know, you look at a lot of those, and you try to decipher what happened, and you say, okay, yeah, those go on the quarterback there, but you know, really, a lot of things happened there. I think when you go through Ben's tape and his interceptions, you'll see a lot of things happen there. The first interception on the pass to McDonald. You want to talk about a guy that probably not going to didn't help himself in getting future snaps is James Conner. James Conner was in on that play on that first interception. He just whiffed on who was it? Miles Jack, I think, coming clean on a blitz there. He whiffs on him. Ben, you know, has to get rid of football, you know, a half a second earlier, and he did. And you know, would that have been a completed pass anyway to Vance McDonald? Does that thing get intercepted anyway? I don't know, but you can definitely, you know, Ben stood in there, knew he was going to get hit, and then got intercepted there, and then the second.
I'll tell you a couple things. I made a note of this on Friday, and I tweeted about it, but I didn't bring it up on the podcast, and I meant to. And it was the note was how good Le'Veon Bell's been in blitz pickup, particularly in weeks 3 and 4. And it was, if you see James Conner, you're going to see him on early downs more likely than on late downs because of exactly that. Because they clearly, you know, are. You want Le'Veon Bell in there on third down situations because he's a great receiver and because he knows what to do in blitz pickup. And turned out to be exactly as you say there, you know, Miles Jack. I can't remember what down it was, Dave. Was it first down?
What was that down? Hold on a minute here and I'll find it while you keep talking here.
So the whole point is, you know, we didn't, Conner got in there for a few plays in this game, but you're more likely to see him occasionally after a long run by Le'Veon Bell, which I think might have been the case in this. But he was in there, and you know, as Dave pointed out, you got to make those plays. You got to, you know, give your quarterback that extra half second, that extra second to step into a throw and make it. And it didn't happen. And again, you know, you're going to see here, and it's going to be a topic of the conversation. I had some people questioning me about Jalen Ramsey and how, you know, did he play well yesterday because of the yards that Antonio Brown got. Trust me, if you were in that stadium and you'll see it if you watch the All-22 and get a better look at this stuff, A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey were stars. These guys are fantastic. I mean, they were absolutely great yesterday. Sure, you know, the Steelers did get some passing yards, and you know, they put them out there on islands to cover Antonio Brown. And we've said it, nobody in the world is going to really cover, you know, a great receiver in the NFL one-on-one for an entire game and shut him down. It just doesn't really happen. And particularly when you get the ball thrown your way as much as Ben was thrown at Antonio Brown. And look, there were a couple plays where he was wide open. But, you know, even the first pass of the game, the pass down the right sideline, I mean, look, it didn't get called, but Antonio Brown pushed off. I mean, if I'm grading the tape of Jalen Ramsey and if I'm his defensive back coach, you know, I'm giving him a pass on that. He was there. The ball's a little bit underthrown, and Antonio Brown's a great receiver, and he made a little push off, and that was the difference. It happens.
That interception, that first interception, came on a 2nd and 10. The first quarter with 1:33 left. So did that come after a long run by Bell? I don't remember. I'm going to have to change this charting up here real quick.
Yeah, I'll check it out. But the point was, you weren't likely to see Conner much on third downs, and after that play, you weren't likely to see James Conner much, period.
Yeah, they had a pass to, that drive started. That was a tail end of a drive, as a matter of fact. That drive was, 12 plays, pass short middle to Bell for 9 yards. I remember that. And then another pass short to James Conner that was incomplete. And then Connor stayed in the game, and then that's when he whiffed on the block, and that one was intercepted there. So
right. So he came in on the first down. They have the package of plays for him. Try to get to him on the pass play, and then the interception. Okay, that makes sense.
And then what have a lot of people been calling for? Okay, we want to see a little bit more James Conner because we're afraid we're running the wheels off of Le'Veon Bell. Well, there you go. He gets in the game, whiffs, and an interception happens on the play there. In a second.
Was there any question in your mind? Because there was a little bit in mind when I saw it. About Vance McDonald fighting for that football?
Yeah, I mean, you always want to see your guy on a contested kind of football, maybe do a better job. Was it out in front of him? Was he in front of him, meaning short in distance, not enough, not a lot of gusto on it? Yeah. But if anything, you want to see your guy at least become the defender in this situation, right? And if I'm not going to get it, no one's going to get it. Vance McDonald, look, I mean, he's done some good things as a run blocker, but boy, good things are not happening when the football is thrown in his direction so far. So,
and just point of reference, Vance McDonald, 15 snaps in the game. James Conner, 6 snaps in the game.
Yeah, and 3 of those with James Conner came on to wave the white flag drive.
Garbage time, right.
At the end there. So, and then we already identified where 2 of those snaps came from, those 2 of those other ones, right? So what did James Conner play? I'm trying to think here. Did he play? Let's see. Here's the thing. We've got the initial charting done. We don't have the who was in where. That's getting done. Now, but we know where two of his other snaps came. It came on that interception drive on first and second down there. So we've identified 5 of his 6 snaps already.
Okay, so the second interception, again, Jalen Ramsey making a play up top on a bad throw by Ben. It was a high throw to Antonio Brown. He goes up and challenges for it. And Ramsey comes up over the top and knocks it away. And there's obviously plenty of luck involved when balls get tipped around in the NFL. And as actually one of the, I think the broadcast call on the Steeler radio was, if you want to catch a tipped ball, just go run around near Antonio Brown, because that's where they're all getting thrown. And that's exactly what happened. And it comes down and off to the races.
You're like Ben, there were so many interceptions, you forgot the order of them.
Oh, really? Was that not the second one that took one up high?
The second one was the first pick 6, the one that the lineman got the hand up and tipped it, went right to the line.
Oh, right, to Telvin Smith. Okay, so now this is interesting. If you haven't seen this, because this is incredibly difficult to see where I was sitting in the stadium, and they didn't show replays up on the video. I know why people sometimes don't go to games. I mean, every play should be replayed on the video board, by the way. Who's ever running the operation at Heinz Field, they need more replays. Hey, folks, more replays. I mean, literally every play just about should be up there. I don't need to see, players imploring people to cheer. I want to see the replay of the plays, and I didn't get to see that, and I realize it's not a positive Steeler play. I still want to see the replay. If you want me to go to the game and spend money on the ticket, make sure I get to see the damn replay. So I didn't even know at the time that the ball got tipped, and it just looked like the worst throw in history. And Dave has a great video, really slowed down, to see this. And what it'll tell you is obviously the ball's tipped right to Telvin Smith, but not necessarily to excuse Ben here. I mean, it's Ramon's guy. The guy gets up before Ben throws, so it's a very good play by the defensive player. And I don't remember who that was, Dave. Was that I don't know if it was Clay Campbell or who it was, but anyway, the point is, if you look at it, you have a great video right to over Ben's shoulder, so you're looking at dead his sight line. So check the GIF out that Dave put up on Twitter or on his site, and it's not a wide open Antonio Brown that he's throwing to. Is the point I'm getting at? There is obviously the defender who's jumping up to try and tip the pass. There's the defender who catches the ball, who's the underneath coverage guy, but there's also a corner, and the window that Ben's throwing into is very small, and it would have surprised me if the ball weren't tipped, if it were completed. I don't know if it'd be intercepted, but it would certainly surprise me if it were completed. And, Telvin Smith catches it, and it is, off to the races.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how, when we get the all 22 up later this evening, if that throw was there. You look at it from the angle that we have it right now on the TV kind of replay. Does Antonio beat his guy to the spot or not? It's hard to tell. But, I mean, I think what is obvious is, that pass was tipped. If that doesn't – if that's not completed to Brown, I mean, if it's not tipped, at worst, it's just not completed to Brown. I don't think you have a pick six in the six.
Well, there's no way Telvin Smith catches it.
Right, there's no way Telvin Smith catches it. You just wonder, okay, would that have been a completed throw to Antonio Brown? So I think that's that's the biggest question there, and we'll have to see. And that was a second and 11 play. So here we are. We've got a second and 10 pass, and we have a second and 11 play. Both times Ben probably throwing for the sticks. Okay, am I right?
Yeah, they're both with the Vance. We're gonna get. I don't want to get us off track here, but so yeah. But look, he's throwing
us off track never.
Because there was a play on the Steelers' first drive. We'll get back to some of the other stuff they did, where Ben was throwing to Vance McDonald, he just missed him. He missed the read. He was late with the throw, and he made a terrible throw. And then you had the interception in the same type of alignment, maybe same. Situation, the first interception. This one, yeah, he's throwing downfield. Look, if that he is throwing 10 yards past the stick. So, yes, it's a long second down, and it wasn't a check down. And he's throwing the big bugaboo. He's throwing into the middle of the field. And this one, it's Ramon Foster's guy. And, look, it's defenders make plays. And the guy got his hands up, and he got his hands up early. And if you're an offensive lineman, your job is, keep the defensive lineman off the quarterback. And two is when the guy goes up in the air, try to get into his chest so that you buckle him. And he's got to bring his arms down just as a protective measure. As much as, you pop him in the chest, it's going to be a natural reaction to kind of have your arms come down. And defensive player made a play, made a good play. And it resulted in, obviously 7 points for Jacksonville. And we're into that was what, Dave? That was mid second quarter. I'm trying to. That was still first. That was still.
No,
help me out here.
No,
was that still
no,
the first quarter?
The second INT. Remember that. That's why I divided the game up into three sections. The first section went through the first six possessions, and Bennett only had one interception through the first six possessions, which took us midway through the third quarter.
Third quarter, right. Right. So, and the Steelers were ahead at that point.
Yeah, what's crazy?
Nine to seven.
9-7, 42-8, whatever, in the third quarter. The Steelers are leading this game. And then that's when
Bills come off.
This shit hit the fan,
Yeah, Fournette had his Sam Bam Cunningham touchdown to do the first touchdown. Okay, so that's the second one. The third one, which I inadvertently described as the second one, was the high throw to Antonio Brown that was not a good throw, and is a good play by Jalen Ramsey being in the right place at the right time. Who picked that one off?
That was Barry Church off of the tip.
Oh, Barry Church, right. Barry Church, longtime safety for the Cowboys. People are going to be familiar with who he is. And what was interesting on both these touchdown runs, it was not a lot of juking and, faking guys out and breaking tackles to get there. These guys both got to the left sideline and more or less, had to beat one guy or get one block, and they did. They were not the most contested run backs that you'll ever see.
Let me ask you, and I'm rolling this play as we speak over and over and over again, the interception that you're talking about right now. Chris Hubbard just gets beat bad off the edge. Looks like Ben does have the football out before I forget if that was Fowler or not that got to him. It was high. It was a high throw to AB, correct me if I'm wrong. AB did get his hands on it first, right?
Or
is this the you know, the reverse of Macklin reception here. In other words, simultaneous, you know, the defender and AB touch the football and then it deflects up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, and one of this is just one of the natures of the game is one guy is actually trying to catch the ball, and the defender's first job isn't to catch the ball. It's to make sure the receiver doesn't catch the ball. So you got a different objective, and he's up there, and he's coming from the backside over top where, you know, he's got to be careful about interference and everything else that he's got to do. So in that position, the way their bodies are and you know, just the nature of the throw – he knows he's not going to pick that ball, so his job is to make sure Antonio Brown doesn't catch the ball, and he does his job. And, you know, I haven't seen it enough and don't have it in front of me, Dave, to know if it's, you know, instantaneous, simultaneous, or not. But I just remember, you know, watching that play a couple times, both in the stadium and then later, just thinking it was a good play by Ramsey. And my second thought was, stop throwing at Ramsey.
If you look at the end zone angle of that, it is high. If that's any other wide receiver than Antonio Brown, then maybe that thing goes incomplete, although Ramsey does get right up there with him. Both those guys get up high for that ball. So and here's another thing that sticks out on that third and what was it, 18 play. Third and 17 play, 18 play. Ben's throwing right for the sticks. Okay, I mean the yellow line's right there at midfield there. So, you know, what do you want Ben to do in this situation? Not throw for the sticks, you know. Obviously, a better pass.
How many? Here's my next question to you. From whatever view you're looking, how many white shirts are there, and how many black shirts are around there?
To be honest with you, within four. Within 5 yards, there's three guys, but really, Ramsey is the only one that has a shot at making the play.
Yeah. Okay. So, kudos to Ramsey for making the play on a high throw. Just it was a high throw. So, you know, you're trying to put it in a place where only your guy can get it, and maybe that's, you know, the thought is, but AB's the only guy who's going to be able to go up and get that ball. Unfortunately, again, this is a tip. Once balls are tipped in the second. Tipped in the secondary, generally bad things happen if you're the offense. And, again, a good bounce for the Jags, and he takes it back. Now, you know, the natives were restless at Heinz Field, and rightly so. They've got a missed extra point in here, so we're into this 20-9 score that we've now seen in seemingly every game the Steelers play. And, you know, you're hoping things get better fast, and they didn't. So, Dave, to the fourth interception was which? Which one was that?
Was that the one to Juju that he fell down? Or was it to Hunt?
Oh, okay. So, right. Yep. So, now, and the Steelers in these situations, they've been moving the ball a little bit here. And this one is right in front of me. And this is why I like sitting up high. You get to see things develop, and you're looking at a lot of things. And it's, you know, it's one of those situations where I go to these games, and I'm not always watching the football because, you know, I wanted to see where they were lining AB up. And I wanted to see, you know, how the Jags were aligning their defense. And you know, you can't see everything all at once every play. Juju goes down. But it, I'm telling you, there was no way Juju was catching that ball if he were, you know, Superman. I mean, he went down and Ben threw it, but he threw it into some traffic. And we'll never know exactly, and it's also sometimes like when we saw Martavis go down in the game last week against the Ravens where he's down on the 10-yard line and Ben's thrown it to the back of the end zone. It's difficult for us sometimes to calibrate how fast these guys are running and what they're physically able to do, and so when a guy's out of the play, it may look a lot worse than it would have actually been, obviously. So I don't want to say too much, but it appeared to me that it was really unlikely that Juju was going to be able to catch that ball. And obviously it was an easy catch for the Jags, and boy, did they have a little celebration after that touchdown. Cartwheels, firing the ball 50 yards into the air. I mean, it was party time for the Jags.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I have my order right here. I think that one might have been.
Yeah, that is right. That's right. Because there was one as I was leaving the stadium, so.
No. The fourth one was to Hunter. The final one was to Juju. Remember the one to Hunter was the one they were driving there, and that was intercepted right kind of short at of the goal line there, and then was it? Hold on a minute here. Let's see. That was
no, you got him right. You got him right.
No, no,
I
no,
didn't
no,
see
no. The,
Hunter
one pass deep to Hunter with 5:38 left in the fourth quarter. The final one. Wait a minute here. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. You're right. It was intended for Hunter, they have that wrong then, because that probably should have been for Juju Smith. He's the one that fell down, right?
Well, let me just tell you, I saw it, so that's the one. I didn't see the fifth one, so it was that's the fourth one. Whoever was running, Hunter or Smith, whoever fell down, was it? I think it was Juju who fell, right?
Right, but they have this as Hunter as the intended receiver.
Intended,
yeah.
Okay, well, so whoever it was wasn't going to catch the ball, and as I say, the Jags caught it, and it was a party. I mean, literally, like guys doing cartwheels. Guys, I mean, literally threw the ball 50 yards into the air. I mean, he threw it up. You know, I'm at the top deck and halfway up the top deck, and the ball went about as high as I was sitting. So. They got their delay game penalty and whatever, but that's when the mass exodus at Heinz Field happened for real. 23-9 and interception number 4 with, you know, under however much time there was. So I didn't see the fifth one. Tell me what I've seen it since, but I'll let you describe.
Yeah, that's just a quarterback trying to, you know, getting frustrated, trying to make a play, throwing a ball where it doesn't. I mean, at that point, breaking down that one doesn't matter. But yeah, the fourth one wasn't, and the fourth one again. A 3rd-and-10 play with 5:38 left. Be interested to see an end zone view of this one too, whether or not Juju would have had a shot at this one or not. But regardless, overthrown in a very easy pick for Gibson there. And you know, I don't think that was intended for Hunter, because he's running down the right side of the field there. I just think that was Juju slipping and you know, signals crossed or whatever. And the last one really at that point doesn't matter. I don't believe. But look, we've described them. They're not excuses for what happened. Now the big bugaboo this morning. On top of that, why everybody, I guess, is clamoring to fire Todd Haley and Mike Tomlin this morning is because the lack of commitment to the run.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about going into the Chicago game, what the other team wanted to do and what you want to do against them, and the Steelers didn't do it. They were successful in the second half against the Bears in shutting down the run. I think they held them to 34 yards, and then for whatever reason, things blew apart in the overtime. If the Steelers had won that game in regulation, like they had the opportunity to, the storyline certainly would have been very different coming out of that. But they didn't, so it is what it is. They have, you know, the opening drive of the game, they move the ball down the field. The opening drive of the second half, their opening drive of the game, obviously the Jags had the ball first to 3-and-out with L.J. Fort missing by an inch of blocking that punt. And then, you know, the Steelers go down the field and their red zone play calling. My goodness, you want to get on something. That's worthy of getting on. So Ben makes a terrible throw to Vance McDonald in on that drive, and then the opening drive of the second half where they get the ball, they move it, and, you know, at that point you're still feeling comfortable. The Steelers are back in the lead, and then, you know, as we talked about, you get to the middle of the quarter and things go badly. But, yeah, Dave, the Steelers as a team finished with 20 carries. It looks very much like the Browns game, the Bears game in terms of kind of the general numbers. I mean, you know, that one, I think Le'Veon Bell ended up carrying 15 times here. In this game, he carries 15 times for 47 yards. He was able to generate very little, because I think he had 10 carries and 40 yards. And so he had generated very little, in the second half on the ground. And the one carry that was effective was Martavis going for 13. I think there was some validity to kind of, again, they got away from the run game. And Mike said after the Chicago game, it was because we're behind the chains, a lot of penalties, and, you know, at some point the scoreboard dictated it. Is that a fair assessment in this game or not?
Here's the thing that we don't know. How many of those runs in the red zone were checked out. Okay? You know, it's easy to sit here, fire the offensive coordinator, play calling sucks, play design sucks. You know, how many, I mean, you heard the Jaguars and you heard Ben after the game say they played a lot of single high, which, by the way, Ben has not done good against single high this year. That's, you know, they show him different looks and it frustrates him. One thing I want to do sometime this week is outside of the screens and the shovel passes and the designed dump offs to the running backs, you know, just pure drop backs. I want to see what the time of snap to release is, because it sure looks like Ben had to do a lot of processing in that game to me. And the more he processes and the longer he stays in the pocket, on top of that, things generally, those two things don't go together, do they? Ben processing and staying in the pocket, in my opinion, generally don't go together. Normally when he makes big plays that go over 4 seconds, it's usually him, Ben doing those Ben Houdini things there. I think in that, what was it, when was the run of 15 yards that set him up at say the Jaguars 15, and then, you know, they ran the pass plays after that. You know, it'd be interesting.
That third down pass play into the corner to Antonio Brown
on a double move down deep that low with that without that much space. That is, yeah, those two.
Well, holy cow! I mean, I just looked at my brother. What the hell was that?
Let's see. I'm trying to look at these red plays here. Your first trip down there inside on a 1st and 10 from the Jaguars 13, they ran Bell up the middle for 4. And then on 2nd and 6, Bell left in for -2. So the first time down there, and even just outside of the red zone, you know,
and then he threw that pass to the right to Martavis Bryant, which he was kind of looked like he was thrown away. I mean, Martavis Bryant wasn't open. And on that first drive, the opening drive, so as Dave says, they have the 10-yard run by Bell. Then they run Bell for 4. He loses 2 yards. That's the key play in the drive, obviously, because you're setting yourself up there for the 3rd and 8. And the Steelers had 5 in the pattern, and Ben had some time. And if you remember, he rolls right. And you know what? It was you know, I don't know if it was plaster cover at that point by the Jags, but there was not an open guy. Ben didn't have anybody on that play. He didn't have anybody to the left. He was rolling right, so obviously you can't even come back to the left, but there was nobody there. Maybe he had a receiver in the middle of the field late coming across, but give that to the Jags. That was good defense.
All right, now that, you know, we've divided this thing up into 3 sections, and that 6th, Steelers possession, which was the final one before, you know, they settled for the field goal and the wheels came off. Roethlisberger, you know, to Bell for what was it? 15 yards, gets him down to, gets him down. I think that was Bell right in. That was that pin and pull play. You know what? We didn't see the guards on the move a lot in this game. You know, that's one.
No, we didn't. Tell me where you are in the game right now. I've got the game.
I am 10. I'm on that 6th possession, 10:49 left in the 3rd quarter. When Bell ran right in, that was that pin and pull play where Bell gets a, I think that was his long, may have been his longest run of the game over there to the right side. And you're thinking, okay, here we go. Bell's down to the Jacksonville 15. And then I think on the next play, he hits Juju Smith down to the 5 for another first down. And then they run 3 straight pass plays. So that series of 3 straight pass plays from the 5, if indeed that was all Haley and no checkouts or whatever, those are the 3, that's the possession of plays that probably needs to be questioned the most, in my opinion. You know, why are you at the 5-yard line and you can't, you know, run the power or run another pin and pull or do something? Yeah, you know, was the box stacked there? Well, you all have to look. You know, don't have to all.
Yeah, so he misses Juju, and then that little pass inside to Le'Veon Bell. Give some credit again. You know, I want to credit the Jags. Gipulpa's Lusny made a good tackle there, because I think there was a moment in time where you thought Bell was going to break through and get to the end zone. He didn't, and they get down to the two, and then, you know, that pass to Antonio. I don't understand that play call there. So on third down, right? So
now, obviously, on third and two, you're probably going to have to pass, you know. But first and second,
third and goal, yeah, right. Third and goal there, yep.
But here's the problem here. People saying, why didn't they stick with a run? Why didn't they stick with a run? They didn't run well outside of that one run that we just talked about, that 15 yard run, David. I'm looking at successful plays here for them on the run. What did I put on Twitter this morning? Three of 14 early runs successful. You know, they weren't running well in the ball game at all. I mean, they really weren't up until really that point where, in fact, I'll pull them up here for you. They started the game pretty much on a second and 10 on the Steelers' first possession. Finney reported eligible, and Bell runs left guard for 10 yards. That was a successful play. Their next successful play was 13 yards on a second and 9 when Bell got off left tackle there for 13 yards. Their next successful play was during that sixth possession early in the third quarter, right guard for 7 yards there. And then we talked about the 15-yard pin and pull, and then their next successful play and last one was a right guard gain for 1 yard on a third and one play there. So only, what did I say, 4 successful running plays during the game there. And, you know, it's not like these other runs are close either. It's not like if I change this from 4.5 or 45% on first down to, you know, 40%, it would get any better, because a lot of these were, you know, negative 2, 0, 0. You know, Bryant right in with the penalty in there on end. How big a play was that on the end around to get 13 yards and then to have Antonio Brown have the holding call there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there were so many of them in terms of what was going on. So Dave, to kind of wrap up Ben's performance in terms of, you know, the run game, what should they be doing, the play calling, and who's responsible. Here's the other thing about Ben is, you know, I mentioned this pass that he tried to hit Vance McDonald on the opening drive, where I'm just trying to pull up. It was on the Steelers. I'm trying to remember the exact play. So, I don't have it in front of me. But he missed an open receiver for a big gain on a drive where the Steelers. It was on the Jag 23. It was the second play. It was the second play of the game. After the Antonio, I think it was the second play that he has, he hits Antonio Brown for the 49-yarder. Vance McDonald breaks wide open. I don't know if Ben doesn't see him exactly how it goes, but it was a really bad throw. And right away, you're wondering, okay, you know, what's Ben seeing? And the Jags had a good pass rush all game. They were up in Ben's face. They were able to get pressure. So again, credit to the Jags. The throw that for me, aside from all the interceptions and all the bad things that happened for the Steelers, the worst throw of the game was the catch that the Antonio Brown challenged catch that he, you know, almost makes a great catch over the middle of the field. I can't tell you how open he is. And again, it's the view you get from up high looking at that stuff, and it's an in-breaking route from the left side. And it's just like, just throw it down there, because if you hit him in stride, there's nobody within 5 yards. And I was curious because it looked like that might have been one of the few times we saw the Jags, you know, passing guys and you know, not playing man, because it didn't really look like Ramsey saw him break in and didn't really drive to go meet him. So I don't know exactly the coverage the Jags were playing there, but it was the easiest throw you'll ever see, and Ben didn't hit him. And it was just like, okay, I mean, it's clearly all not going well. And I don't know if he's gun-shy at that point in time or whatever. And I don't even know if people really remember the play, because things were getting out of hand at that point. But, you know, just evaluating the throws that were made and not made, it's just there weren't a lot of pretty throws.
You know, and I think, you know, I can't remember if we said this on Friday night. People keep trying. I know I wrote about this. People keep trying to write about, well, this is the last ranked defense, Jaguars rush defense in the league. And as I tried to point out, you know, their statistical rankings are kind of deceiving.
What we do, yeah, the noise will get blown out of that as the season goes on if they don't give up more big plays. You pointed it out, 10 or 11 plays, right?
Right. And geez, you know, three of those were triple explosive, right? I mean, so yeah, it's not going to help matters. But if we go back at the end of the year and the Jaguars' rush defense is in the middle of the league from a yards per carry, you can't look at yards per carry. If you do, you've got to make sure you look at some of those longer runs and here's that word again. Find the median. You know, make sure there's not any outliers in that situation there. You know, on tape, have they been great against the run up until this game? No, but I don't think they were as bad. Just to throw out there that the Steelers only ran the ball X amount of times against the league's worst rush defense is lazy, in my opinion. Very, 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 very lazy. Now, you can, like I said, you can question some of the other calls. Now, hey, what needs to be done here? First, personally, I think we could do a little bit with a little less of these empty sets early in games on early downs. I don't see really how that's going to help. Second, I'd like to see a little bit more kind of window dressing, if you will, a little bit more things. You know, we see the Kansas City Chiefs do this. A lot of these motions pre-snap, you know, a lot of window dressing here to keep the minds of, you know, sleight of hand, if you will, to keep defenses thinking, hey, we got to watch out for this so we can't key on this. And unfortunately, in order to do that, you're going to have to run maybe some early end of rounds or something like that to get defenses thinking. Geez, I'm going to have to do a breakdown. You know, I think they only run well out of heavy personnel with the offensive linemen on the move. They're going to probably have to figure out a better way of getting Le'Veon Bell maybe to the edge out of 11 personnel, you know? By the way, David DeCastro had a horrible game. Jesse James had a horrible game blocking. James Conner, we already talked about him. Hubbard, poor game pass protecting. He's a good run blocker, but you put him up against, you know, in key situations against some of these good defensive pass rushing defensive end. He's not playing well. We've seen better games out of Foster, I thought. So, yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around there. But can the offense be more creative? Yes. You know, how much of this loss was on Todd Haley? Look, anytime your quarterback throws five interceptions in a game, it's going to be kind of hard to point the fingers away from him as being you know, the reason why. All right, before we get over to start bashing the defense here, do you have anything else to add about the offense? Do you want to take a shot at Todd Haley? Do you want to take a shot at anybody else?
You know, red zone design, I know Alex mentioned something about, look, the route combinations. I think it's fair to ask what's going on. I mean, Darius Heyward-Bey comes in. They have him listed for two plays. I don't know if some of the plays that he and
Justin Hunter. They need to put Justin Hunter back on the inactive list because he ran a wrong route on one of those that looked like on a failed target his area. Ben expected him to read something, I think, break to the outside, and he broke inside there. They just need to get Hunter back on the inactive list and get Eli Rogers back active. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They need to get Eli Rogers active to work the middle of the field. I mean, look, nothing against Juju. Juju can stay on the field. Eli Rogers is the one guy who's going to work the intermediate middle of the field. And, you know, AB works all parts of the field, so I'm excluding him from this conversation. I mean, look, he got targeted 19 times in that game. I mean, it's just, as great as he is, that's not the right number. 19 is too many. And particularly when, you know, he's Jalen Ramsey's, you get him away from Bouye and Ramsey. I don't know why, you know, get him in the slot a couple times, do some other things. I mean, look, his numbers look good, but let's be clear. You know, aside from the 49-yard catch to open the game and the one play at the end of the first half where it was a poor, I think it was poor tackling by Ramsey, the one time that he bounced off him. I mean, think about plays that were impactful in the game for Antonio Brown. It's hard to come up with any. I mean, Steelers didn't score, you know, didn't score a touchdown in this game. So, you know, while the numbers look good, you know, all of a sudden you say, look, Antonio Brown the week before, he has three catches for, you know, 35 yards or whatever it was, and he's pitching and moaning. And this one he has 10 for a million yards and the Steelers don't score a touchdown. Which would you rather have? Yeah, well, if you're Steelers, you want to win the game, right? So, look, he's the big part of the offense. He is the only good player offensively the Steelers have had this season. I mean, consistently good player. It's been Antonio Brown. So no knock on Antonio Brown, but you got to get these other guys. They've got to be impactful. Martavis Bryant hasn't done anything all year. You get Eli Rogers back on the field, and I do think the route combinations need to be mixed up a little bit more. Hayward Bay comes on, and he just runs a straight go route, and then he's off the field. I mean, literally on the field, runs a go, and then leaves. I mean, you know, is there any use to having that guy on there? And you know, that's what he does. And other teams know this. I mean, the play that they ended up throwing underneath to Le'Veon Bell on that play, but the Jags were well aware when he came on the field and what he was likely to do, and he did. And that's not particularly enticing or insightful offense if that's what's going on.
Now, this is very minuscule in nature, but yeah, Juju's done some nice things already this season and all. Obviously, outside of the penalties, I think, what does he have, three penalties so far? That very first pass that went his direction, what was it? I think in the second quarter, it was a third and six play towards the right sideline, and Ramsey breaks it up there. Go watch the replay of that, and that will show you how Juju really has to work on his route running during the off season. And you know, that's nothing new. Of, you know, rookie has to work on his route running during his first full off season, without a doubt. But you know, he's got, when he comes out of that break, he's got to be coming back towards the sticks a little bit better, because you know, Ramsey reads him sitting down, makes a break for it. If Juju kind of comes back for that football, sharpens that angle back towards the sticks there, maybe Ben squeezes that in there, and that's a first down, because that was a third and six play as well too. It's the, you know, some of those little things there. I mean, that went in the books as an incomplete pass, and you know, Juju runs a little bit tighter route. Maybe that's a third down and six conversion. So it's nitpicking, but it's just one of those things there. And yeah, I mean, look, you cannot go through this game without saying, boy, you know, Ben sucked. The coaching sucked on the offensive side of the ball. Look, I mean, should we fire Mike Munchak because David DeCastro was absolutely horrible? You know? It goes, you know, these guys got to execute at some point, too. Now, look, if the season goes on and if the Steelers, let's say the Steelers make the playoffs, but they don't advance to the AFC Championship game for whatever reason, is Todd Haley's job likely in jeopardy? Absolutely. I mean, you have this much talent, supposed talent, on the field, and you can't even get to the AFC Championship game. Generally, normally, as long as someone's been there like Todd Haley has been there, it might probably going to cost him his job. I mean, for off.
Yeah, depending on how the next 11 games go. I mean, look, if they're averaging less than 20 points a game, they're going to be issues. And look, Ben threw out a line that obviously people jumped on. You know, maybe I don't have it anymore. He was clearly being facetious. I've seen the video of it. Look, Ben's standing at his locker. He's trying to be – he understands what his job is. He played like ass. The team got whooped. And his job as captain, as you know, quarterback, is to stand there and answer the questions. It's the last thing he wants to do. He was polite, but he was short. He wasn't disrespectful, but he was not going to elaborate on stuff. And he threw some things out. That's all meaningless stuff. But you have to, you know, people talk about how the Steelers are going to be walking in the wilderness for the longest time when Ben Roethlisberger is no longer the quarterback. They're walking in the wilderness right now, folks, with Ben Roethlisberger as the quarterback. This isn't a good offense. I mean, Jared Goff and the Rams is a good offense. Deshaun Watson and the Texans and Alex Smith and the Chiefs, who they play next week, those are good offenses. Those are fun to watch. The Steelers aren't fun to watch. There's been nothing. Think about the last three games. The Bears, the Ravens, and this game. There's nothing fun to watch about this offense. Nothing.
And remember, remember a couple of shows ago we said his play has been pedestrian. Were we too generous? We got good.
I've said it since week one. I used the word pedestrian, and I actually think the Bears game might have been the best game he played. I thought he made some really good throws in that game, and he was a little bit unlucky. That wasn't the case yesterday. He wasn't unlucky, and he didn't make some really good throws, and he missed some really easy throws, and he made some bad throws. Now, you know, the interception, obviously the interception against the Ravens with AB rolling over, that's not on Ben. Some of the tip balls, you know, that things go your way, things don't go your way. There have been plenty of balls that could have been intercepted this year by the opposing team that weren't. Things went the other way. The tips went the defense's way in this one, along with some bad throws. Not good, and they do need to figure it out. But one of the things we've seen, and let's be very clear about this, is Mike Tomlin's teams in the second half of the year have been significantly better as the season goes on. And as he says, look, we're always a work in progress. We're not a finished product in week one, and they're not going to be a finished product here in week five. But, you know, we talk about a first half where we were thinking they'd go 7-1 or 8-0, and they're 3-2 and staring the best team in football on an away game. I'm sure everybody in the world thinks they're going to be 3-3 after next Sunday. So it is not at all what – not just people in Pittsburgh or Dave and I, just not what anybody who watches football thought we'd be seeing out of this team, and particularly after they got off to, even though not all that pleasant to watch, you know, a 2-0 start. And here they are. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about the defense. Ryan Shazier, you know, a nice play on the interception that sets the Steelers up with 3 points. You know, the defense in the middle of the third quarter, the game's 7-6. They give up, you know, the one touchdown drive. I mean, it's hard to kill them at that point. And then they give up two offensive touchdowns. I mean, I don't really know what to make of the defensive performance other than, you know, Leonard Fournette and the Jags, they were able to run the football. And we talked about it coming in. Let Bortles beat you and throw to the receivers. What do you have, 8 completions for 95 yards? I mean, Bortles didn't beat him. But they got smoked anyway.
Yeah, you know, by failing in the red zone early and then on into the third quarter through that sixth possession. I mean, at halftime, I remember posting on Twitter, boy, the Jaguars have to be ecstatic right now that they've turned this into a 30-minute football game because, you know, the running game is still alive. The things that they like to do, their MO, they were still able to do into the third quarter there. And you got to get other teams out of their MO earlier in games. If you do that, that's when good things happen. Had they ever been able to get Bortles into a position where he had to start throwing more on early downs, that was it. And you talk about, okay, Ramon Foster said after the game that the Steelers, you know, need to find their identity. We know what the Jaguars' identity is. Run the damn football with some heavy packages. And I wrote about this ahead of the game, too. The Steelers' base. You want to know where the Steelers' problems against the run is this year? It's in their base defense. And, I said and wrote before the game, it'd be interesting to see if the Jaguars run more heavy personnel in an effort to keep the Steelers' base defense on the field. Boy, did they ever. You know, I think what, you know, might have been 20 sub-package snaps for the Steelers defense in this game, and the rest of them were base. And I thought as a whole, the Steelers defense played well through, let's say, the first three quarters. But let me tell you, I forget what the score was at the time. I think it was 20-9. That fourth quarter, that Jaguars' first possession in the fourth quarter, they just ran it down the Steelers' throat. I mean, literally ran it down. That drive to open up the fourth quarter, and they got the ball at their own four. run, kick the field goal.
13 plays, 807, 67 yards, 807. And this is where Bortles, for the first time, started looking at the clock because now he didn't do it every time, but he got it down inside, you know, 7 or 8 on the play clock, a lot of the snaps. So, I mean, it was 35, 40 seconds between snaps. He was doing exactly what he should have done. And as you said, yeah, 13 plays. We're just going to, you know, until you stop us, we're just going to, you know, hand the ball off to Fournette and occasionally Ivory. And the Steelers didn't stop them. I mean, it was, you said it. They ran it down their throats. I mean, Ivory had 4 of the carries and Fournette had the other 9. And, you know, it's 1-13-11, 1-6-3-12, 2-19, -4-3, no gain. And that was then the field goal choice.
David, I would have, with your clock management skills, I would have trusted you under center on that drive.
I would have used about another minute on the drive, but yeah, just turn and hand it off. And that was, that's when, you know.
And what the F is Mike Mitchell carrying on about?
So I was told, I'm up in the stands. I see that. I tweet about it. I said, you know, somebody said Fournette, my nephew said when Fournette was running at Mitchell, he was like waving at him, bring it on. Like, so he was challenging him during the play. I didn't see that. I'll have to look for it again. But, you know, he's trying to get his defense fired up there on the sideline. I don't know, but it's just not a good look after an 11-yard gain. And the best comeback I saw on Twitter when I said something about that, and obviously we know how fans like to get on Mike Mitchell for these types of things, was they don't want Artie Burns to be the only – Mike Mitchell didn't want Artie Burns to have basically a monopoly on celebrating after the other team gets a first down.
Hey, add T.J. Watt to that as well. You know what I can do with that? Before you decide to carry on any of that nonsense, you should look up at the scoreboard, I think. It should be a rule. Nothing worse than to see – and plus, look at where the yardage and the sticks was, you know. If you gave up a first down, you probably don't need to be – you know, this goes back to the Bill Engvall, right? Or you might be a redneck with Jeff Foxworthy, you know. If you gave up a first down, you probably don't need to be celebrating, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, a little crap like that will definitely, in a situation, you can magnify all that stuff. Supposedly he's telling Fournette he's a rookie, he don't belong, you know, he don't know,
right.
You know, this, that, and the other, talking a whole bunch of crap to him and all like that. But really, David, look, I mean, we'll dissect it even more than this on Wednesday, I'm sure, and we'll have the all 22. But that fourth quarter, offensive possession for the Jaguars, when they get the ball, and look, I mean, were the Steelers still going to win the game at 20-9? I mean, I don't know. It is early in the fourth quarter there, but
it's the Steelers win. If you like win probability, it wasn't until, you know, when the Steelers, the Steelers were at 50. It was at 50% in the middle of the quarter. I mean, it was bouncing around 50% in the middle of the third quarter. And, you know, it went to 23%, and then it was flatlining in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, the Steelers were dead in the game. Obviously, they had a lead. You know, they're dead in the game in the middle of the third quarter.
When did the probability that drive, obviously, of theirs took up, 6:48 and ended in a field goal, made it 23-9. Wonder how much – what was the probability when that drive – for the Steelers when that drive – of the Jaguars started versus to when it ended there, you know.
What was the score after that?
It was 23-9 after that field goal.
So it was surprisingly, when they started the drive with the beginning of the fourth quarter, the Steelers' win probability was down. It was really all the way down to just 10%, and it was basically zero after that.
Okay, so when that drive started, it was down to 10%.
Yep.
Okay. All right. But regardless, that certainly helped get it down to zero at that point. Then, geez, that
at 13-9, Jags, when they missed the extra point after the first touchdown, the Steelers were at 51% still with 5 minutes left in the third quarter. So, you know, it was a toss-up game there, and then obviously away it went.
And then, I mean, look, was the defense put in difficult situations early in the game? Yeah. Look, you're going to face adversity at that. But really, you know, like we said, they gave up the two touchdowns, right? Is that correct? The Fournette leaping over the pile after the first, turnover, and then Fournette, you know, that 90-yard run. That's just a watermelon cracking open right there at that point.
Yeah, that was a vintage Steelers. You know, they got the fullback. The fullback was the inside guy. Outside guy. The guard was the inside guy. They seal off. I think it was William Gay. He actually took it inside William Gay. He could have taken it outside William Gay. The hole was there, and he showed some speed there. I don't know that Le'Veon Bell wins that race, but there was no question Leonard Fournette was winning that race.
All right, where are you on the concern meter?
Defensively, not all that much. Offensively, very. So I think, you know, on a 1 to 10 scale, I think coming into this game, I was at a 2, and I'm at 5 or 6 right now. I mean, it's Ben's play, I think, is a real question mark now. Ben is not one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league today. So this season, and if you look at some of the guys who do this on a weekly basis, and I think it takes that, and you have to see every quarterback, and we obviously, Dave and I don't. We see a lot of them. We see a lot of performances. But Ben is he is an average, at best, NFL quarterback at this point in the season. That's concerning.
All right. Should Todd Haley be fired?
No. But I think you said it right. I mean, now Todd Haley and the offense are on notice. I wasn't putting them on notice. 3 of the first 4 games on the road. This was now a home game against a team, and I'll say this, they were everybody's darling to start the season, and because they lost an ugly game against the Titans, people jumped off the bandwagon really quickly. I'm not saying this because they waxed the Steelers, but I think this is a good Jaguars team. I think it's a very good defense. I think their corners are outstanding. I thought they were outstanding yesterday. That allows them to do a lot of other things. They can get a good pass rush. Look, I don't even know what to make of Blake Bortles. Because we didn't see him do anything. That's not a knock on Bortles. He did what he was asked to do to win the game. But Fournette's a real back. If they, you know, they don't have enough in the receiving department. But the Jaguars are a real team, and I'll be shocked if they're not, you know, at least 8-8. They're going to win some more games, and that win, you know, over the Ravens looks a lot more impressive as the Ravens go to California and beat the Raiders. So, it's the NFL right now, and I think we know less about the NFL than we've thought. After 5 weeks than any time in the past 5 or 7 years.
Let me ask you this. Regardless of where the assuming everybody's – the health stays where it is right now, all right, everybody plays basically, the starters and everything. If the Steelers lose the next 3 in a row – now, look, they play the Chiefs, the Bengals. If we were to have circled what we considered the hardest part of the first half of the schedule, it's coming up right now. Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Lions. If the Steelers lose the next 3 with the bye week coming, then could you see a change with Todd Haley? That would be four straight losses entering the bye, 3-5.
Yeah, have we ever seen Mike make an in-season move in 10 years, just to use history as our guide? I'd still suggest no, but if you lose 4 in a row and you're scoring 9 points a game, yeah, maybe. I mean, I can't rule it out.
When was that what was his name, the special teams coach that 1 year? The special teams coach.
I'm stuck on Al Saunders, and I know that's not.
No,
right.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm trying to remember when.
What 5 years? The one guy got. He was here for a year. He got bounced, but that was after the season.
I'm trying.
Before Danny came in.
I'm drawing a blank. What that guy? What the?
What's your answer to the question? You think there's any chance Todd Haley's fired in season?
I think if you lose 3 of the your next 3, yeah. I mean, Al Everest, right? Al Everest. He was fired on August 23rd, 2012.
So right into the season. Oh, and that was a bit. There was a big question mark about like why did that happen then? What was going on? Yeah, that was an odd story. Just as a last thing, a lot of injuries around the NFL. Odell Beckham Jr. with a broken ankle. J.J. Watt looks a broken leg. It looks like the Chiefs lose guys. Kelsey's in concussion protocol, and they lose Chris Conley for the year with a ruptured Achilles. So they're going to maybe lack some offensive weapons in the game coming up on Sunday. So, man, it's going to be an interesting week. The Dolphins' offensive line coach resigns for snorting coke on a video that he took of himself, which might be the dumbest thing we've seen in the league in a long time, which is saying a lot. Not much good.
Let's see. Steelers also fired Bob Ligashevsky, in 2010, was it, after the 2010? Look, I mean – when you have an extreme, and the only reason I say that would be the time, because after the Lions game, you go into the bye week, you of course then have the extra time, one would think that if you're firing Todd Haley, then Randy Feetner is going to take over at that point, right? I mean, you're not going outside the organization. It's either Mike Munchak or Randy Feetner going to be the offensive coordinator if Todd Haley gets fired. You're staying within house, right?
Yep.
All right. So the only reason, do I think Todd Haley needs to be fired today? No. But if you lose to the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Lions, and in fact, if you lose two of these three games, hopefully at least your win is against the Bengals in the division. But I could start to listen to the noise a little bit more, especially if it's related to the offense. The noise about Haley having to go, I could definitely start tolerating it a lot more if the Steelers go 2-3 in the next three games with losses on both ends of that. It would be hard. It'd be hard to argue against, regardless of who's executing and who's not executing. That's when I think I would accept the argument then. So we'll see. Look, I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs game in Kansas City, that's not going to be easy. The Bengals are, of course, playing better right now. They have a nice defense keeping them in games. And the Lions, hey, you got Matt Stafford over there. They're gonna keep you in a lot of ball games as well, too. So we'll tear up the defense a little bit more on Wednesday. We'll hope to have a beat writer from the Kansas City Chiefs who covers the Chiefs on our Wednesday show as well, too. We'll have more time to look at the tape in the meantime. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the cause, we're such the apologist here. If you want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com and hit the donate button up right navigational bar. David, we ran over once again, folks. We're sorry, but it happens, especially games like this.
Yeah, appreciate all the reviews on iTunes. Thanks so much. They were wonderful. And thanks so much for taking the time to do that. As I said, I know that wasn't the easiest thing to find and get out there. And our listeners are the best. But unfortunately, the football team that we cover wasn't the best.
Before we get out of here, my wife's having a colonoscopy today. Boy, I wish I could trade places with her.
Good luck with that. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a